Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Someone once said, I don't believe in mixing religion and business. Some others have thought, I don't believe in mixing religion and politics. Still others suggest, I don't believe mixing religion and recreation. And so on it goes. There are those areas of life that some do not think ought to be mixed with religion. Now, it is true that we have to keep a clear distinction between religion and other matters. But the religion of which Jesus Christ is the author is one that is to be mixed with every phase of life. Christianity is not just a one-time or a now-and-then, sometime faith. It is a way of life that involves everything a person says and does or thinks. The faith of Christ is primarily a positive way of life. Now, while there are those things that are forbidden to the Christian, and there are the don'ts in the doctrine of Christ, the main force of Christianity is constructive, upbuilding, and positive. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. These are all a part of New Testament Christianity. But living a life in the imitation of Christ is the main thrust, 1 Peter 1 and verse 21. Paul said, Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2 and verse 5. And again he said, Be ye imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 20. Our aim as Christians is to bring Christ closer to people by our daily conduct in life. We've heard the old adage that says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Well, this is the idea behind the daily living as a Christian. Some have been converted, as well as others have been repulsed, by the lives of those who profess to be Christians. In Philippians 2, Paul admonished, Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now this is what the faith of Christ necessitates. Christian living must be applied to various relationships of life. When one becomes a Christian, there's a change in his relationship with God. But there's also a change in his relationship with the devil and with his fellow men. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Let us turn our attention to some of these relationships. Being a Christian affects one's relationship with his parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It was written of Jesus, And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Children who are still under the care and provision of their parents are to accept gracefully and willingly the rule of the home by father and mother. And even after leaving home, honor to parents is commanded. Even though it is true that some parents are not very honorable, children are to honor them simply because they are their parents. And this includes providing for parents when parents are not able to provide for themselves. Paul wrote, If any man provideth not for his own, and especially his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. We recall a man whose father was cruel to him when he was young, partial against him when he was older, cursed him even when he was on his deathbed. Nonetheless, the son found comfort in the fact that he did all that he could for his father, simply because he was his father. Being a Christian affects one's relationship also to the government under which he lives. The Bible does not command one particular kind of civil government. Surely God is more pleased when civil government respects the standards of Christianity and defends Christians as they serve God. But the faith of Christ teaches the Christian to pay his taxes, to obey the laws so long as they do not demand that he disobey God in doing so. The Christian is to show respect for civil authority and government leaders because their position and they pray for their rulers. To disobey the laws of the land is more than merely disobeying man's laws. It's disobeying God, because God teaches us to obey those that have the rule over us, Romans 13:1-7, 1 Peter 2:17. Only in the event that a law of man requires violation of the law of God is there an exception. Then we must do as Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. Acts 4:19 and Acts 5:29. We are not permitted to disobey a law simply because we do not like it. And being a Christian affects the Christian when he's on his job, earning his livelihood. Now, even though most people will not accept it, the way of Christ is really the solution to what is known as labor management problems. Such problems generally exist because of greed and envy and jealousy, the desire to take advantage of others, unwilling to treat one another fairly and considerately. And if a man can work, he ought to work, or he ought not eat, 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12. God is not pleased with a loafer. And if one works for another, Paul teaches servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Ephesians 6:5-6. Again, Paul wrote, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And if one has other men working under him, Paul addresses him also, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Colossians 4:1. Again, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Ephesians 6:9. Furthermore, Christianity affects the home and marriage. Sometimes the faith of Christ causes hardship in a home because some wish to follow Christ and others wish to continue serving themselves and the devil. Christ warned that following him might well cause estrangement from relatives, Matthew 10. But when every one of the family is obedient to the Lord, the home will be what God wants it to be and what he has intended it to be. Following the will of Christ assists people in selecting their marriage partner. Christians marrying Christians should be the goal. We need the good influence of one another in the family to be faithful to the Lord. Being married to one who is disinterested in Christ, antagonistic to that which is supposed to be the nearest and dearest to the heart of the Christian, having to be loyal to one who is sinful and rebellious, it places such a strain on the home, and its success is almost impossible. It is far better to remain unmarried than to be yoked with one who is going to cause you to lose your soul. The doctrine of Christ governs the husband's attitude and action toward his wife, and vice versa. Together, in Christ, they live under a common standard. They have a divine basis upon which to make decisions and solve problems. The doctrine of Christ prohibits divorce, except for the cause of fornication, Matthew 19:9. Therefore, setting the standard of life together until death separates them is of supreme importance. Many problems in marriage are directly traceable to the religious division and tensions that accompany that division. But when husband and wife, and father and mother and children submit to the will of the Lord, the home will be the nearest thing to heaven that this world can afford. And Christianity will affect the parents' duty toward their children. Now, we've already noticed how it affects the children's attitude toward parents, but it works the other way also. Fathers will bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, and they will train their children in the way that they should go, Proverbs 22:6. The birth of a child into the home imposes an awesome responsibility upon the parents to make sure that child is molded and taught in such a way that they know God's will and they are encouraged to obey it. Physical, mental, and social and economic assistance to the child is secondary to the spiritual training that the parent owes the child. And with godly parents, the soul of the child is a primary concern. Christians live in the world, but they are not to be of the world. We're not to partake of the sinful things of this world. In fact, we must guard ourselves from behavior that brings reproach on that for which we stand and which we profess. We are to be a peculiar people, Titus 2 and verse 14. That is, a people who are different because of the kind of daily life that is lived. The worldly standards are not the standards by which we measure. We are to convert the world, not conform to the world, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Christianity even governs our attitude and action toward enemies, if such we have. Jesus the Christ, who was perfect in every respect, had enemies. How much more might frail followers expect to have enemies? Paul urges us to live peaceably with all men as far as is possible, Romans 12 and verse 18. But even that teaching implies that there may be times when it is not possible. We're not to be overly disturbed if we are hated. Jesus said, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." But when we're hated, we're taught to render good for evil, Romans 12, 20 and 21. Instead of the Old Testament law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the Christian way is love for hatred. Instead of seeking revenge, it is rendering good for evil. That which is called the golden rule is the standard for the Christian toward all, even his enemies. When Christ was reviled, he reviled not again, 1 Peter 2 and verse 23. Admittedly, this is a very difficult task of our faith to follow Christ when dealing with those who seek harm and destruction. And especially is it difficult when you have the truth and the means to score a great victory over your opponent. But we must guard our motives in what we do. The better way to deal with enemies than to seek their destruction is to pray for them and try to befriend them. If he rejects you, he will eventually destroy himself. In the judgment, God will settle the matter. We must have the attitude of Christ when he was on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, there are other areas where the teaching of Christ and being a Christian determines our daily life. We shall mention just one other briefly. The way of the Lord governs the way we speak, our conversation, the use of our tongue. Our speech can contribute to our salvation or to our condemnation, depending upon the way we use this blessing of communication, Matthew 12 and verse 37. Friend, do you realize we can talk ourselves into hell? James writes an abundance of instruction governing the use of the tongue. But Christianity makes a difference. Those who are faithful to Christ will be known for clean and pure speech. Being a Christian, then, is a full-time occupation. Indeed, it is our profession. It regulates everything we do and where we go and what we say, who we select as friends. It governs our activities, what we can support, what we oppose, where we stand. It determines how we work, how we play, whatever is a part of life. Certainly it governs our worship and our work. But being a Christian means letting Christ have His way in our daily life. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.